Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
They want to host a Super Bowl.
Correct.
Okay. Fair enough.
I do not, like, everyone said the, like, that's my question, is like, everyone thought the Vegas Super Bowl went well.
Yeah.
I don't understand how this was necessary. Let's see. Also, I've noticed this. I think it was Frank Bonner. I think I saw this. Maybe it was Jonah. One of the stories. Have you noticed that players are now calling coaches by, like, message board nicknames? So,
how do you mean?
Earlier this week, I heard a player reference Marcus Freeman as Free.
Okay.
And today, one of the linebackers refers to Charles Huff as Huff.
Okay.
So, like, I mean, A, it doesn't bother me, but it is kind of like, it is, we've gone from, you know, Coach Saban or whatnot to, like, now it is like, you're just boys with them.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
I don't feel like... I guess it does happen in the NFL, right?
Yeah, like, and there's some nicknames, I'm sure, thrown around.
Like when... like, I'm trying to think. What does Mahomes refer to Andy Reid as?
Oh, I have no idea. Does he just say Coach Reid? I don't know.
I do think, of course, there is also, like, who's old? McVay's older now than Stafford, right? Yeah, McVay. Yeah. Stafford's my age, but class ahead of me. And McVay's like, I think the 05 class. Maybe even 04.
Yeah, McVay's 40.
But I want to say Stafford refers to him as Sean. Brady did always refer to Belichick as Coach Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, then again, it's that relationship.
I don't even remember at any point Josh Allen talking about Sean McDermott, which might have been a sign.
Yeah, until after he got fired.
Yeah, and I think he said Coach McDermott.
Yeah.
I've not heard him say anything about Joe Brady.
I think he's only called him, if I've heard anything, I think it's just been Joe.
What is Bo Nix? I'm trying to think of, like, Bo Nix, how does he refer to Sean Payton?
I mean,
I want to say they all, because I want to see when Breeze called Peyton to ask him to induct him into the Hall of Fame. Now, granted, that was all for show.
Of course.
But I think he still referred to him as Coach Peyton.
Hmm. Is it a college thing, maybe?
Like
with the younger players?
I think it's more a sign of that's how it kind of has to be now. I mean, in college, there is still the money disparity. Like, at least it kind of makes more sense in the NFL where more times than not, the players are making more money than the coach.
Right.
Which changes the power dynamic. But even in college, like, even guys that are getting well paid, most of them are still not making more than the coach.
Sure.
Like, let's say if Mensa...
What did they say Mensa got?
I think seven.
Six or seven?
So, what does Pete make?
Golding?
Yeah, because that could be the one where Trinidad might make more than Golding.
6.8 for his first
season.
So
I think he still makes more, because I think we saw in Trinidad's, I think we learned Trinidad's was $6 million on that lawsuit.
Yeah.
Finally, I learned this week, Ronaldinho's still playing soccer.
He is returning. Yes, I saw this yesterday.
With Serie A. How would you say C in Italian?
No idea.
Has not played in 10 years. What is going on there?
If I were to tell you the name of the team that he is planning to play for, would you have heard of it?
No, because I saw...
Ravenna.
Yeah. Aren't those the new electric trucks?
No, those are Rivians.
Ravenna,
Italy.
From
the first line of ESPN story in this, Brazil great Ronaldinho has landed in Ravenna, a city more famous for its nearby beaches than its soccer team.
It has to be on the Riviera, right?
I don't even know if it's... Well, I think it might be on the coast.
But, like, this is one of those ones where I'm like, what's going on here? Because your initial suspicion whenever you see this is, oh, he needs money, but there's no way he's making anything off this that would solve a problem. So is this, like, are we going to find out that there was a, like, documentary? Is there content that's coming out of this?
I have no idea.
I have seen him play.
In person?
Yeah.
Where?
AC Milan.
Oh, that's right. You did have a little soiree.
And I also learned when I went to that game that the Italian league does not serve beer. Because I told my buddies I'd go get the tickets, they could pay me back, and they sprinted at that idea, and I wondered what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
And they showed up two sheets to the wind, giggling like little schoolgirls, and I go, what? And they're like, you're not going to get anything here. I was like, what? They don't serve in the stadium.
Ravenna is on the Adriatic coast.
Okay.
It is just north of San Marino. I'm sure that is a stunning and beautiful place to play some football.
I just have...
11 years after you retire.
I would like to know what is going on. Like, did he just, like, get World Cup fever?
I have no idea.
Because it's not as if... Like, the normal reasons you would do this do not apply. Like, does he have some ownership stake and it's a publicity stunt?
Not that I can tell.
I would love, if someone could get to the bottom of this, that would be quite helpful.
You get Lawrence on the case.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. Blake Topmeyer also coming up to start hour number three. Stick around. You're listening to Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Each and every day here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, we do a little thing called The List. George, fire it up. Candid college basketball coaches. All right, shout out to Matt Norlander and Gary Parrish over at CBS Sports. They have their Candid Coaches series available now. Which team will be the best in 26-27? George, who do you care to guess?
This was
a significant winner.
First shot in the dark, Florida?
55% of the vote.
Wow.
Went to the Gators. 16% said Duke, 7% said Tennessee, 5% said UConn, 5% said Illinois. On the actual quotes about the team, quote, I think there is no excuse for Florida to not sit at number one for most of the year. 80% of their scoring, 80% of their scoring back with three true front court monsters that probably eclipse most teams' total salaries by themselves. Another coach said, my heart wants to say Tennessee because Barnes is due a Final Four run, but my brain says Florida can and will probably be stupid good this year, like 30-plus win good and back-to-back championship game. And back to the championship game. Too many guys who have been there before and a coaching staff that knows what their coach wants and needs. How many programs at that level can say that? And have the horses. They have the best front court in college basketball. Hard to argue against physicality and competitive spirit as they wear teams down over 40 minutes. Boogie Flan will be much improved and more consistent in year two. Let's see. Oh, do we just have the teams? Oh, no. All right, so we had...
I think it's...
just the best teams. Then they also asked...
Hold on. This is just the most recent in the series. We've got other things from the candid coaches.
All right, so we also have, do you support 2026 seniors getting a fifth year? 58% said yes, 42% said no. Here was the logic for each. Those who voted yes... quote, making the rule and announcing it before the start of classes is maybe the dumbest move of all time. Maybe as dumb as Mark Emmert saying paying players will never happen. Yes, I will either be Warden Norton in his office or Red meeting up with Andy on the beach in a month's time. A Shawshank reference. I just wish it was done either last October when it was first being discussed or in the spring. However, all of us think our world is most important, and it's not. If the rule officially changed any other time, football would be 100% more chaotic with lawsuits than what basketball is seeing currently. Yes.
Someone did hold their breath on that one.
Football said hold our beer. yes, if they all get the year. I don't think giving it to people because they sue is wise. Do I support it? Yes. Was it handled the right way? Not at all. No reason to cut off that group when they just finished. You were just asking for trouble, which I think that's the story in a sentence.
Yeah, it just boils it down perfectly.
Yes, we made exceptions and appeals for most athletes the last 20 years, so why start now? Let them all play. Start anew. This should have been a no-brainer. The 2022 high school class dealt with so many obstacles that were completely outside of their control, so I think they should absolutely be grandfathered into the 5-for-5 rule. My biggest frustration is timing. The decision should have been made back in January. If it had, every program could have planned for scholarships, roster management, and finances. Instead, making this decision this late creates a huge advantage for some schools, a disadvantage for others, and a lot of unnecessary chaos. But at the end of the day, it's about doing what's right for the student athletes. I'd give this group the extra year. To be clear, none of the guys that are trying to get this year are doing it for academics.
Not a one.
Not a single one.
How many masters do you guys think are getting handed out here?
A lot of online ones. Those who have voted no. I think this had this been established in March or April, I would have been 100% on board. However, 90% of college basketball has built our rosters with the assumption that these players would not be grandfathered in. I don't think that's an unreasonable idea.
No, not at all.
No, the timing is messed up, not sustainable, no rules, where does it stop? No, and to be clear, my issue isn't with these players. Get to the butt. If the NCAA had made this call at the conclusion of the season, I'd probably be singing a different tune. It's the timing. Changing the rule midstream after guys have already made decisions based on what was in place is exactly the kind of instability that makes it impossible for anybody, players or coaches, to actually plan around this sport. At some point, the NCAA has to draw a line and hold it. This is a case where I'd rather see them enforce it and take the heat than set a precedent that every rule is negotiable after the fact. The rule changing at the worst times have been unbelievably frustrating. I mean, I'm not someone that likes to take the NCAA side. They have, even if I think it's dumb, they have been consistent. They are trying to enforce the rule. They are losing in court. Even today, when they win in court, they're still losing in other courts.
Yep.
Like I don't actually think this is them being wishy-washy.
So you know how these are supposed to be anonymous, right?
Of course.
There's one as I'm reading through here where they just name drop someone. Like, hold on a second, did you just give away who this is? Who said this?
Were they Tack and Wade?
No, this one against. And yes, I'll take one or possibly two if we feel confident they'll play. At the end of the season, I had a senior come into my office, and he wanted to try and come back. My compliance director, Darren Heitner, said he had no case, so we went about finding him an agent and his first overseas job. We were told very specifically for a long time that 5-for-5 wouldn't pass then, so now we have to upset the apple cart. Miami. So,
well, say Heitner...
He's also an attorney.
Right, but I don't think he's... I think I took that as a joke. Like, my compliance director is Heitner, who is a... player attorney.
Heitner also teaches NIL law at Miami.
Okay. I knew he lived down there, but I think that was the other part. Is like he just was assuming that it wasn't going to go through.
Which is fair. I mean, especially like when these questions are being asked and when a lot of this is going through. What I find funny about this is how many of these coaches are not against these players coming back. They're not against the possibility of having these players on their roster. They're purely against just the process of the way that they went about getting this year of eligibility back and the timing.
If I may.
You may.
I don't think that's what they're upset about.
They're upset that they're not getting them?
Correct. And they don't have the money.
Was there? I'm trying to sift through this and see if there's any of them.
Because if you listen to the tenor of everything, the tenor is... Had we been able to plan. Plan is code for...
If I could have ponied up some money
correct.
To get some of these guys,
correct.
We would be in on this.
Well, I mean, is it one of the... Is it the... The player from Missouri today that got his, that went to Texas to get his TRO.
Let me grab that because I remember that On3 posted that.
I believe the report was Kentucky was paying him $1.5 million up front, even if he did not get eligible.
Mark Mitchell.
I believe it's $1.5 million up front, and then he gets $6 million if he plays.
So he got a guaranteed signing bonus?
Correct. Now,
okay.
You know what that also tells me is other schools were offering the same.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, that sounds like a negotiation.
Absolutely, that is. I'm trying to find anyone that is just hard against this.
I wonder if basketball is going to be the canary in the coal mine, where at a certain point, I get it, everybody wants to win, but basketball feels like the math doesn't math.
Oh, absolutely not.
I mean, if Kentucky is going to basically spend $30 million, that might be the one school that can still maybe make that work. Because obviously they have a massive arena.
Right.
Their revenue is extremely high. But, I mean, you even see like Greg Byrne at Alabama has basically been like, it's not adding up for us. And they're good.
I wonder if there's another coach we can figure out who this is. Quote, no, just rip the Band-Aid off. We could go back every year and say the same thing. If so, go back to 2008 so I can get some money.
Cal?
I'm thinking that was a former player.
Oh, that's a good tell. How many guys are former players?
I have no idea.
So, I know the new coach at St. Mary's was playing when I was there. So that would have been roughly that. But I don't know if St. Mary's...
It seems like everyone is just throwing money around.
All right, I'm trying to think.
I just thought the year, like picking out a specific year and then saying, so I can go back and get some money from that.
When did Shire play?
Ooh.
I think Shire played when I was in college. He would qualify.
John Shire is 38.
Yeah, he would be. That would matter.
He played from 2006 to 2010.
Is that our lead suspect?
I mean, as of right now.
Now, usually the guys that are talking like that are the guys that are at jobs that aren't flushed with
right.
cash. And he does not apply to that.
No.
Now, John Shire was the type of player that probably would have commanded a lot of money in college.
Oh, absolutely. Because
you knew staying veteran.
If it was 2008, that would have been going into his junior year. So at that point, he had already moved to the one. And we know a lot of these guards are getting a ton of money.
I don't hate that idea. The Shire.
What was the other candid coach question that we...
Best player. Everyone basically said Thomas Hoff.
Yeah. Have we figured out, is it Huff? Is it Huff?
Hawk? I don't know, because it's...
Jeremy Fears getting a good chunk of the vote. I don't hate that.
Is that our dick kicker?
Yes. Michigan State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if is he going to stop that?
I'm surprised of all coaches, Izzo hasn't gotten that out of him.
You are right. It's Hawk.
Is it Hawk?
So I don't. Someone is going to have to explain to me how
AUGH makes
him and Tyler Shuck. How does that happen?
How is ETN actually HN?
That one at least makes more sense. That's like weird French Creole pronunciation. But my problem on that one is you had the opportunity to correct us. You do not get to go back. It's still Travis Etienne. You could have, you have been in the public eye for basically a decade. You had the chance to correct us. You did not. Too late.
Not even just that. You've been in the NFL for 5 years now.
Correct. It was the same thing with Marcel Darius. I don't even remember what it is. I think we all called him Marcel Darius, but it was really Marcel Darius. And then the one that's still Mike Stanton.
Oh, you can't go by Gio?
No. You had your chance. By the way, it wasn't like you were playing for the Royals. You were in Miami.
Oh, you could have gone by Giancarlo that entire time.
Correct. You did not. You don't get to do that. Pick your name.
Will he be more remembered as a Yankee?
I think so. Because he does still have one of my favorite contracts of all time. Because I think he had no intention of actually staying with the Marlins. And then when they're like, so what would it take to keep you here? And they're like, I don't know. What about like a third of $1 billion? Okay.
What?
Guess I'm a Marlin. But almost every high leverage game he's played has been as a Yankee.
I mean,
also,
it was the Marlins.
Mike Stanton played for the Marlins.
That's true.
Giancarlo played for the Yankees.
When did Mike decide to become Giancarlo?
I think it was when he went to the Yankees. Or maybe it was the last year in Miami.
What does the Wikipedia say? The Wikipedia says known until 2012 as Mike Stanton. He went to the Yankees in 18.
Yeah.
He won an MVP as Giancarlo.
I mean, it's been long enough at this point.
Yeah.
Let's go with high school football. All right, so last night, while you were flipping channels, you may have stumbled on ESPN2, where Brentwood Academy was taking on that plucky little just day school, boarding school in Chattanooga, the Baylor school.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. My dad sent a text. He's like, both these teams would run and clock us. And I was like, well, they did last year. We played them both.
Yep.
Couple of things. I don't know if it matters anymore for following college recruiting, but I don't know if your quarterback of the future is Keegan Croucher at the Baylor school. Holy popcorn arm.
Really?
Yeah. The other thing was it felt very orchestrated and very much winking at the camera. Marshall Manning did get in there.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept trying to make it look like Croucher was hurt, but he clearly wasn't. The other thing that stood out to me about Marshall Manning, he looks way more like Arch than he does Peyton. And I can't figure out why. Maybe it's the helmet. They both were like, it's very clear. His uniform inspiration is Arch more than it is Peyton.
Right.
Like they wore the same helmet. It was everything. First pass was a sprint out. The other thing that you kind of left were watching is like the best player on the field is David Gabriel Josh.
That running back there?
He is unbelievable.
He's different.
He is.
He's so good.
Like, they were, like, ripping his face mask. Because, like, to be clear, this is, Brentwood Academy's got plenty of talent, too.
Yeah.
But, like, he makes you look so dumb when you are trying to tackle him that people wind up just ripping his helmet off because he makes a move and the only thing you can grab is the face mask.
Right.
So whatever Tennessee paid for him.
Well spent.
Well spent. But yeah, I did not leave thinking Keegan Croucher is going to be tearing up the SEC anytime soon.
I don't know if this was just me not being as plugged in with the scene. Do they always do like post-game pressers? Like of that ilk?
No.
Okay.
I was also wondering how much that just had to do with the game was televised.
That was my other thought. Is it the fact that this was like actually on national television? I'm assuming that's the case. But, like, they had a full-on podium and post-game presser set up for it.
In my now 10 years of covering high school football.
Not a common occurrence?
I'm trying to think. I've covered 2 state championship games. I don't even remember doing that.
Wow.
I mean, I think part of it is the number of legitimate prospects that they have, which will also be hilarious because you know what's going to happen is every single one of those kids is going to get to college and they're not going to be available to talk.
Yeah.
Like every single one of them.
Oh, not a one.
Which I don't understand. I used to get it. I thought it was dumb, but I used to get it. They didn't want them to talk because they were all afraid that they would slip up and say what they got in recruiting.
Right. Now it doesn't matter.
Now it makes zero difference. So I do not understand that. Maybe they're worried that the more popular they get, the more expensive they are. I also think it's just a wiring. But it's also very short-sighted because these guys are usually the most media trained because they've been, I mean, now we have high school guys that are going to the podium.
Right.
But yeah, the fact that the Baylor school is still playing and competing for state championships is mind-blowing to me. They're a factory. That is fine. That is their prerogative. If that is something that is important to them, by all means, they should have the right to do that.
Go the IMG route.
100%. And it's not, first off, it's not the Baylor school's fault. It's not McCauley's fault.
No.
It's the TLSAA. Oh, my God. What a ref show also.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Oh, what a ref show.
That bad?
Oh, my God. There's nothing more high school football than the sideline warning.
Oh, come on. Really?
The most. Oh, my God. It was a ref show. Also, Baylor has a phenomenal in-game light show, whatnot. So, congrats to them. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, there's a couple other headlines I want to get to. We've got some game day news. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped mussel oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, George. It was a little bit of a no-duh story, but ESPN did make it official that on week three, they will be headed to Oxford, Mississippi for College Game Day.
Do you have any messages you would like me to extend to the fine folks of Game Day? I'll do my best.
I covered the Katy Perry one. Which was nuts, because that was the first time they ever had it. And it was, but like, I don't think it's like a nothing burger anymore. I think that gets overdone.
Oh, what, people trying to like downplay it?
Yeah, I do not think, though, it's arguable that its significance is not what it once was.
For sure.
All right, let's do my favorite, though. Let's predict some other ones.
Oh, okay.
So we now have the first 3 weeks. Clemson LSU is week one.
Okay, they're not doing a week zero one, are they?
They're not doing a week zero.
Okay.
Ohio State and Texas is confirmed week two.
Duh.
Now we have LSU and Ole Miss week three. Here would be the contenders for week four. Oregon at USC.
Okay. It's not
which
bad.
Will be interesting to see, I presume. Fox is not going to pick that one up for Big Noon.
Probably not.
Because that would be a 9 a.m. kick. So that then leaves either CBS picking it up at 2:30 or NBC primetime. But I think... So Notre Dame plays at Purdue. I guess that would be I'm going to call my shot. I'm going to say that's NBC primetime. Oregon at USC. The other options would be A&M at LSU. That would also have to be, though.
Will they do LSU back-to-back?
Correct. Now, granted, it would be.
In Baton Rouge.
In Baton Rouge versus in Oxford. But that would be a fascinating one. Also, Oklahoma at Georgia.
That's kind of where my eyes were led to.
I think, though, that is entirely dependent on Oklahoma beating Michigan week two.
very fair.
I'm going to...
And they're not flexing games.
Obviously, they don't have to go to their own property, but they like that.
Right. I say that about not flexing games that already have times decided, because Texas and Tennessee in Knoxville is on the schedule for that week.
Correct. That is the early game.
Correct. That's the 11 a.m.
Now, it's not a disqualifier.
It's not.
But it typically tips the hand.
Correct.
A&M is likely to be undefeated. A&M has Missouri State, Arizona State, Kentucky. They are likely to be 3-0, and then LSU is entirely dependent on what happens the previous week.
Right.
I'm going to say they're going Georgia.
Oklahoma. I think I'm with you there.
All right.
Because I think I'm with you that Oregon and USC, there are just too many other potential options, like, of broadcasters that'll pick it up.
All right. Week 5. We have Miami at Clemson.
Okay. That'll be good.
We have Washington at USC.
That's pretty much it. It's a relatively dry week.
I'm going Miami at Clemson.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean, there is Ohio State, Iowa. But basically, the only really Big Ten games they go to is like Michigan, Ohio State.
Right. Or now you could argue going out west.
Let's see, who will Washington have played? They will have played the Crapple Cup, Utah State, Eastern Washington, Minnesota. You could talk me into, if USC beats Oregon, they go there.
I could see that.
You could talk me into that one, but I still think I'll go with Miami.
Is there another game on Miami's schedule, which I know it's not a disqualifier going to a school, like, having the same team more than once?
The only other one would be at Notre Dame.
Mm.
There's not really another home game.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose if Florida State
shocks us all.
Correct. If we're just wrong on Florida State and that they are good, that
could be.
Correct. All right, week 6. If my computer would function.
So, Saturday games, we've got Georgia at Alabama.
Okay, there you go.
USC, Penn State, do anything for you?
I will be stunned if they don't go Georgia, Alabama.
Me too.
All right, week 7, we would have Ohio State, Indiana.
That feels big noon to me.
Again, not a disqualifier. They've done that before.
Right. Not a.
That is also the Florida State-Miami weekend.
Penn State-Michigan from Ann Arbor.
I think this is entirely... This is one of those ones where I think you're going to have to predict. I'm going to say it's Ohio State-Indiana.
If both teams are looking solid at this point, is Provo in play?
Provo could definitely be in play.
Because that's Notre Dame at
BYU. What would BYU... Let's see. BYU starts with Utah Tech, Arizona, Colorado State, at TCU, Iowa State. You could talk me into, if they're undefeated, they go to that. But I think the other problem you're going to have is, we know either Ohio State or Texas is losing week 2.
Right.
If Ohio State wins, it is almost assuredly a top 5 matchup. And I can't see them not going to a top 5 matchup, despite the fact that the game would be on Fox.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to call my shot on that one as Ohio State, Indiana.
I think that's fair.
All right. Week 8. Week 8, you're Ole Miss at Texas.
Mm-hmm. Indiana at Michigan.
A&M at Alabama.
If we think they're going to Tuscaloosa earlier in the year, what is that, 2 weeks prior?
Correct.
I don't think they want to double dip that close.
I agree. I think the leader in the clubhouse would be Ole Miss, Texas, entirely dependent on what's their records.
Agree.
But I think if I had to pick today,
I would also pick Ole Miss, Texas.
All right. Louisville, Charlotte, LSU, at Florida, at Vandy, Mizzou at home.
Is this the following week?
Yeah.
We don't have another great one on week 9, do we?
No. I was counting the games that Ole Miss would play. I think that's going to be Ole Miss in Texas. All right, week 9, which is Halloween weekend.
Ohio State at USC.
Okay.
That looks like the slam dunk.
That's going to be Ohio State USC.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even really see another candidate.
No, because they're not going to do Florida and Georgia at the Benz.
I suppose if Arizona, like, there's no real rhyme or reason why Arizona could not be one of the teams that climbs to the top of the Big 12.
Oh, definitely.
So you could potentially have
Arizona, Texas Tech, top 25 matchup from Lubbock.
That one.
I could see that. That could be a sneaky go-to in there. Here could be another potential Provo spot if Arizona State looks good.
I think I'm going to say Ohio State, USC.
Me too.
I think the issue on that one is what's USC?
I mean, if it's either of our options, they might either be really good or really bad.
All right, November 7th. Woo, doggies.
They've got some choices on this one.
And we just said Ohio State, USC, and the
but
next
that would be
week,
L.A., not Columbus.
I know it's not the same location. Oregon's at Ohio State. Should we factor that in for the previous week? Do they look to go elsewhere? Also, did they ever do the cute let's go to an FCS last year?
I think they did one, but it was super late in the year. Wasn't it the South Dakota-North Dakota State game? Or was that one that we thought they might do and they didn't?
All right. Last year, here's where they went. Columbus for Ohio State, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Norman for Michigan, Oklahoma. Knoxville for Georgia, Tennessee. Miami for
Notre Dame at Miami.
No, it was Miami. It was Miami, Florida.
Oh, that's
the rain,
right.
The rain soaked, disgusting game. Also, shout out to Mario for backdoor covering that one. Then they went to State College for Penn State, Oregon.
That one aged well.
Tuscaloosa for Vandy, Alabama. Eugene for Indiana, Oregon. Athens for Ole Miss and Georgia. Nashville for Mizzou, Vandy. I have zero recollection of that.
Yeah, no idea.
Wasn't that game? I think that game was on SEC Network. I would love to know if that has ever happened. Has there ever been a college game day with a game on SEC Network? Because that was the game that Perbula broke his leg.
That's right.
What did he do? Dislocate his ankle?
Dislocate his knee or something like that.
It looked
gnarly.
Correct. And then he ended up playing at the end of the year. That was one of those ones where it's like, oh. Then they went to Salt Lake for Cincinnati, Utah. Lubbock for BYU, Texas. Pittsburgh for Notre Dame, Pitt. Eugene for USC, Oregon. Ann Arbor for Ohio State, Michigan. So
they only double dipped once in there. They went to Eugene twice.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to say they're not going to leave. If, and especially if those two teams are undefeated, and the reality is, even, like, let's say Texas gets revenge and beats Ohio State.
A one-loss Ohio State team is still going to be.
Now, here's the question. What if Texas and Indiana both get them?
And they're both one-loss teams?
No, no. What if Texas? What if Ohio State's a two-loss team?
Oh. Hmm.
Listen, there's also the reality. Texas could get them. Indiana could get them at USC.
That's true. I just think this would be fun because the atmosphere is always super cool for this game. Holy War.
I do love the Holy War. Georgia also plays Ole Miss that week, but I kind of like your idea. They didn't really double dip.
They double dipped once, and it was for massive matchups.
Now, you could also make the argument the double dipping would also be LSU-Ole Miss just because of the Kiffin factor.
Sure. But they did Georgia-Ole Miss last
year. I'm saying Ohio State-Oregon.
I still think it's Ohio State-Oregon.
All right.
But they have choices that week.
Then we have week 11. So Michigan-Oregon.
Texas-LSU.
I'm calling that one right now.
Texas-LSU.
Texas-LSU. Because we haven't sent them to Baton Rouge yet, right?
Did we send them there? Is that like week?
No, we did not send them for the A&M game.
That's right, we didn't.
I'm calling that one Texas at LSU. All right? And then week 12. You have Indiana, Washington.
Yep.
LSU at Tennessee.
Oh, the double Kiffin return?
A&M and Oklahoma. We haven't sent them to Norman, right? We sent them to Athens.
Correct.
Also that week is
not a ton in the other conferences from what I can see.
All right, I'll say A&M Oklahoma.
Any shot at what do we think SMU is going to be like?
Their schedule's so soft.
South Bend? SMU at Notre Dame?
I don't hate it. I think it's entirely dependent on
what SMU does.
Records.
Yeah. I agree.
I don't hate that idea.
That's already chosen as the NBC night. Right.
Site. It's home
Notre Dame game.
Correct. All right. Then last week. They're going to College Station. I think that's the one they want to build up is A&M and Texas.
Has that game already been given a time?
I'm pretty sure that one is Saturday, or is that a Friday one?
That's a Friday night game.
All right, so they're not going there. Where did they go?
Where'd they go week three?
Oh, duh. That's Ohio State, Michigan. Duh. They always go there. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Blake Topmeyer joins us next. Stick around, you're listening. Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about UnitedHealthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At UnitedHealthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for UnitedHealthcare. I'm committed to care.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances, trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.